Hey Peaches, what up?
What's up, guys?
Welcome back to our podcast. It's your girl Tiff and Mel. How's everybody doing? How's your weekend?
My weekend's good.
Yeah,
we had fun yesterday. Just had people over.
Just
and
kicking it.
Yeah,
just with the had crew.
A few people. Yeah, the huge Friday crew.
Right.
I drank a lot.
Yeah, you drank like maybe three.
Nah, more.
Did you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, like four or maybe five, and I didn't finish that fifth cup.
Oh.
Yeah. It was bourbon ginger drinks.
Oh, it's bourbon.
Yeah, it's bourbon, ginger bourbon.
Ugh.
It was good.
I'm not a fan of brown liquor. I'm trying though, but.
That shit was good though.
Did
you like it?
It was cool. It was cool.
It was with orange juice.
It's not my cup of tea, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah. It was just with orange juice and then shake, 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 and then top with Sprite.
Oh, interesting. Yeah,
so it's like not too sweet, not too bubbly. I like it. I'm actually going to make me another one right now.
What should you do this week?
I've discovered Clubhouse.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of fun. At first, it was confusing, like
it is a little
to
confusing
maneuver, you know, on the app. It was fun. I like meeting people from all over the world and listening to their conversations, just like different rooms, different topics. I came across one room with Indian people that were born in India but grew up in America, and then now they're living back in India. So they were just talking about like politics, about religions, and it was fun, like listening to people's opinions on a lot of things, you know,
like on different
topics.
Yeah, things that you don't normally talk about, maybe.
Yeah, I like being exposed to just random shit.
Yeah, I have Clubhouse on my phone, but I don't really use it much. I mean, I've listened to a couple of things, you know, since I've gotten it, but not enough to, like, know how to really maneuver things.
Yeah.
I remember, like, Nasia posted something about it. Like, it's, like, really good for, like, people who have businesses and, like,
networking.
You know,
I can see that. Yeah.
So I can see that also being, like, a good thing. Like this new platform of communication.
Yeah.
So
this is what Nikki was talking about. Remember like a couple episodes ago when she was like, I don't know, there's going to be a new form of communication, kind of like Zoom, but not Zoom. I don't know what it is. I think she's talking about this. I'm excited about this episode. This week's Peach Flicks, we are going to be talking about the Netflix show Bridgerton. I can't wait to talk about it. We're going to have Quinn from the Quintessential podcast. She's going to be here with us and help us kind of break down the show. She says she has a lot to say about the show.
I'm excited. So let's just get into it. Welcome, Quinn, to our podcast. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me here. I'm so excited. I actually listened to your last one, too, and I was, like, trying to get myself, like, pumped up. I'm like, ooh, this is going to be good.
Yeah, I saw that you took the archetype assessment.
Yes, and I've been sending that quiz to everybody. Like, let me see.
Yes, me too. I even sent it to a couple that I was going to do, and I told them, I was like, do the assessment test first before I do your reading, because I just want to know for the sake of knowing, you know.
I made my best friend take it. I made my man take it. I made my entire group chat take it. I was like, so what does it say? Send screenshots.
Because we're going to get to know each other a little bit.
Exactly.
Now, okay? Yes.
I'm like, I want to know who's on my level, who's not on my level.
Oh my God, that's like, so funny.
The funny thing though was that my boyfriend's own, the things that he was really big with, I completely lack. And it was the same thing for him. Like, all the stuff that I was, like, strong with, it was his lowest. So I was like, okay. I see that, I guess. That's
exactly how we are.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know. It actually kind of made me think about you guys, too, because I remember that in the episode, too. I was like, oh, okay, the little opposites attract thing.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if we're both the same, it's boring, you know?
Yeah.
No, so true. You need that dynamic. You need somebody else to bring something that you lack, you know? I feel like it makes everything more interesting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you should get the book. You should get the book.
I definitely do.
But anyways.
Anyways.
Please introduce yourself for our listeners who don't know who you are.
Hi, my name is Quinn. It's actually Quinnacia, but Quinn went well for the brand, you know, and it's a nickname that I've had for a while now. And I actually just decided when I decided to make my podcast, which, yes, I have a podcast, Quintessential Podcast. And the Quinn worked well with that word. So I just was like, that would be great if I just marketed that way. So I'm actually in Brooklyn, New York. I'm 26 years old. I had to think about that for a second. I actually don't even know how old I am right now. I think it's the whole quarantine thing. Time is just not really a thing anymore.
Right. I feel you. Today on our Peach Flix, we'll be having Quinn here to help us talk about the show Bridgerton.
Woo, Bridgerton. We love it, honestly.
Oh my gosh. So we did like a little poll probably about like a month or so ago. What our listeners want to listen to between The Magician,
yeah,
Bridgerton, and
New Girl.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, okay.
And so the people have spoken,
right?
And Bridgerton it is.
Well, of course Bridgerton would win. Like, it was the most viewed on Netflix. So, especially last month.
Yeah.
So I know, like, a lot of people were just binging that, loving that. And I think a lot of the news in general with, like, TV shows, Bridgerton had one of the most, like, controversy. There were so many topics that were hit during that show. So, it definitely was, like, a people's choice, I would say.
I agree. Yeah. I could see why. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say I agree. I don't agree, but I could see why. Let's just say that. So let's just talk about the show. Let's do a quick summary of the show. Mm-hmm. So the show is about 15-year-old Daphne Bridgerton.
Oh, I didn't know she was 15.
She was 15, right?
God damn. I think so.
Yeah,
I believe she was like 15, barely 16.
Yeah, so she was coming into
the season for them to be like on the marriage market, I guess. But damn, I didn't know they were 15.
Yeah, they were basically child brides. Yeah. That's one of the controversies, but it's like, you know, exactly where you said it was setting, like in 1813, like that was very on brand then, you know, right. Like, you wanted your wife to be barely 13. Like, that was how it was going. And it was just like, and I feel like Netflix, one of the controversial things about them is that I don't know what they've been doing lately, but that's just been a topic that they've really just been running with.
On, yeah.
It's like every show that they have on their platform has to do with teens, has to do with like teens having sex, teens with their relationships. Like, all of this stuff is always focused on that. And it's like, okay, we get it. Like, we see it.
y'all's programming, okay?
We see the programming, and like Bridgerton, that was like a good way to mask it because it was like, oh well, it's the times.
You're saying this is okay, you can get away with putting it out now because you're putting the setting at 1813, but we see what y'all are doing, okay? Mm-hmm. So Daphne Bridgerton, she's the oldest daughter of the Bridgerton family. And it was her debut into the competitive marriage market. So, hoping to follow her parents' footsteps to find a match sparked by true love, Daphne begins her journey.
Love the suspense.
Dun, dun, dun. So, I thought the opening scene, or the first episode, probably like the second scene, when she was getting ready for her day and her entrance and how the queen was sitting down and how she was presented, it made me think of Mulan, because Ooh. That was Mulan's opening scene also. Her mom and her grandma was getting her ready for the marriage market. She was to go in front of the, I don't know if it was the queen though, but it was some kind of lady who was gonna pass her on, whether she's good or no, pass.
It was, yeah. It was something. A matchmaker.
and that lady in Mulan also had that mole that the queen in Bridgerton does. So it like totally took me back to Mulan. I just had to put it out there. I was like, wow, this is Mulan, but in real life and with white people.
Wait, I love that comparison. I honestly didn't even think about that, but you're so right. Like, yeah, it really was giving Mulan vibes. That was the first thing that came to mind. Yeah. I personally was just so drawn to the dramaticness of it. I was like, oh my gosh, look at the drama, like the finding the perfect dress, the good entourage, like you want to be the flashiest to be there to show that you are, you know, the most desirable, you have the best hairstyle, the best dress, like your boobs are sitting nice and tight, you know, like everything was like very so whatever. And then like, I love the queen's energy. She's just like judging all the little girls like, like, no. She's like, that dress was so last season, okay. She's just sitting there looking at everybody like, okay. Then she's like, Daphne,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, she kissed her on the forehead.
Yeah.
And Daphne was like, did that really just happen?
Right. Like,
it's like, think about your favorite celebrity kissing you on the forehead real quick, like, just right. Like, she was just like, wow.
Yes.
Wow. So, and I think the first, that first scene was great because I just love the dramaticness of it. I was like, yeah. Ooh, okay, like, I'm into the storyline, where are we going with this?
For me, I was just loving all the costumes for me.
Mm.
Like, I don't know, all the like, I know that's probably like the most uncomfortable thing to wear,
right?
Because like, yeah, you know, the way that they like
the get corset cinched, yeah, in,
like even who was it like not Penelope, like one of Penelope's sisters, she was like getting dressed,
oh yeah,
and the mom was like, tighter,
yeah,
and she's like my mom, like, am I supposed to like just die in here?
She's like, my lung is about to collapse. So like,
right. Oh my god.
And then she fainted in front of the queen. She could have fucking been down.
Those are the circulation OG, those are the OG waist trainers. They were out here really.
Right. Really though. Oh
my god. I can't.
So the costume designer, Ellen Marojnik.
Girl.
Moronic, I don't know, some kind of foreign name to me. Ellen, she also did the costumes for The Greatest Showman.
Oh wow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I could see now. I'm like,
yeah.
I could definitely see her style. And also Maleficent.
Oh wow.
The Mistress of Evil.
Oh.
Okay, I like this woman.
Yeah, me too.
She kills it.
It says if anyone could get it done, it's her. It was roughly 7,500 pieces that she designed.
Damn.
7,500 pieces, guys. Holy shit. Yeah, just for that one little line, she should get the fucking award.
Yeah, just for that. I mean, honestly, that was definitely an award that I think, because they got nominated for like best ensemble, I think, for Golden Globe or the SAG Awards, one of those, but they got nominated for that. And I was like, honestly, I could see them, like, that was, they really did look great. Like, they looked great. The cast was great. The way the costume fit them, like, I think everything was the setting that they had them, that was definitely a part that they deserved their coins, you know?
I love the color schemes too, and like whatever filter that they choose to do for the whole show, like, I love that. Like,
yeah, I agree.
I don't know what the word is, but I like it.
So I read that the different colors that the families have, it like at first I didn't realize it, you know, but then I read like things that you might have missed the first time you watched it. So like, that's why I also watched it the second time, because I like wanted to see like, damn, did I miss that? But Yeah, because the Bridgerton family, they had like all these like kind of like soft pastel colors, yeah, like powdery colors.
Yeah, powdery, yeah.
They've been like, I mean, her father was like a Viscount, so they have been like
royal,
exactly. They've had,
say, they're like rich, a long
time, right? Yeah, whereas like the Featheringtons, they have like all these bright colors, is because they're new money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, right. Yeah, you could tell too.
Yeah, exactly. And then even Lady Danbury and Simon, like their colors before, it was like always like golds and blacks and like reds. But then apparently once Simon and Daphne got together, like got engaged, I don't know if you noticed, but Lady Danbury and her mom started wearing purple, because Daphne's color was always like blue. And mm-hmm. Simon's color was always red. So when
and red.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't notice that until like I watched it the second time. I was like, oh shit.
Look at Quinn.
I am mind blown.
Me too.
I did not catch that at all.
Right? And then she also, like, Daphne also started wearing, like, you know, like,
that's so
pastel,
clutch,
like, purples, you know, like, it still looks,
yeah, pretty,
but,
oh my,
like,
God,
it's, yeah.
Like that blue chalcedony, like, exactly. Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm still mind blown over here. I'm just like, that's so smart. Like, how they just do that, and I didn't even notice. Like,
right.
That's, wow, so true. Now that I'm, like, like replaying all the scenes,
and like, it symbolizes the unions of the two families.
Two becoming one.
Yeah,
and you know, they were hyped as shit. They wanted them to be together so bad. So
oh my gosh!
The moment they got together, they were like, "Let me go get a purple dress."
They know we mean business.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh! I'm like,
yeah.
That was good.
You know what? I'm gonna give them coins for that too. Wow.
Damn. Okay, so let's talk about the main characters. Okay, yeah. I guess we already kind of have been. Daphne for sure.
Okay, with Daphne, one of the controversies that was going on around her was so many people were actually pissed that she was the diamond. How did you guys feel about that? Because people were kind of like, she's not that special to be the diamond. Like, people were kind of like shitting on her, which was kind of sad. But I was like, but then I was kind of like questioning it too. Like, was she diamond worthy? I feel like, in my opinion, I thought she was.
I think so too, just because, like you said, like back in that time, like they wanted like the most innocent,
exactly, you
know, looking girl.
Exactly.
And I mean, she definitely,
and she was it.
Yeah, yeah, she definitely hit that on the nail. Like, she was very like she just looked so pure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say that when she walked down that aisle, mm-hmm, like approaching the queen, mm-hmm, and like they kind of slow-mo her walk, I was like, yeah, I agree. Like, she's just like everything about her, and like,
yeah,
whatever facial expression that like they told her to do in,
yeah,
that,
she's
scene,
really good at that.
Like, she nailed that shit. I was like,
her facial expressions is on point.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we all feel the same way. I felt like she was definitely diamond material, especially for the time setting that we were talking about before.
Yeah,
and like the way that she looked, I feel like everything about her also looked so 18th century too. The way they,
yeah,
she just looks like someone I would see on a painting in a museum, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like she was on brand. I think people were also throwing that shade because they thought, what's her? I don't know why I'm blanking on her name, but the one who was like the showstopper. I think we're probably gonna get to her soon when we go down the list. But
Marina?
The showstopper. Yes, Marina. Hmm. Like, people were looking at Marina, like, why wasn't Marina the diamond? Why wasn't she the one? Like, she was the one that actually like turned heads, blah blah blah. And I was just like, yeah, but she's not. She's not the diamond. So like,
yeah. Although I think she was beautiful also in
she
her
was
own,
beautiful.
Right? Yeah. Like, I was like, wow, you're gorgeous. And when she started speaking French to
Madame Delacroix.
Yeah, to the seamstress, I was like, oh, you're just like a little more cuter to me. But yeah, I liked her too. I wouldn't put her as a diamond.
No.
Yeah.
Not in that setting, not in that town with all those
people. Okay. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Same.
Okay, so, who's next?
Duke of Hastings.
The Prince Charming.
Simon.
Right. Okay, what do we think about him, guys?
10 out of 10, bruh. Like, what?
What? He's so hot. Oh my
god. So hot. I'm not gonna lie. I had a dream about him.
Of course you did. Oh my god.
Because I was watching like episode 4 or 5, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, it's 3:30. I should go to bed. Like, and that was the last thing I saw. And of course, he went to my dream world with me. Ah!
He's so hot. Like, I don't blame you. I'm actually jealous he hasn't visited my dream world. But like, he is great. He actually, did you guys know that he got nominated for Best Actor, though, for SAG? I don't know if I agree with that.
No, I don't agree.
Yeah, I don't agree. He's hot, though. I'll give them that. He's but for Best Actor, I didn't really see what they saw.
Who is against him? Like, who goes against him as Best Actor?
Honestly, I didn't really pay attention to the others. I just saw that he was for that, and I was, like, shocked. I was like, oh. I feel like out of all the characters, he's got, like, an individual, like, nomination.
Right.
Like, I feel like there were some other ones who could have gotten an individual before him. But
who would you put before him? Just one person in that show.
I feel like Lady Danbury was pretty great at her role. And I feel like she was like there for pivotal moments in there. You know, like she was one that helped sew together the plot. She was one that helped the ending. She was the one that was there from the very beginning. She was like mysterious in the background, but like so important, but low key. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like her acting was really great in that sense. But I feel like I was thinking Daphne, but I'm like, I feel like I'm only thinking that because she was a main character, but I'm also mm-hmm. like, she wasn't really that great either. So.
I mean, she did her role well, but.
Yes.
To be the best actress or, yeah.
Who do you guys think?
I mean, they were all great at, you know, being who they are or who mm-hmm. they were, but I wouldn't have a nomination.
Same.
Like, yes. It's only the first season, you know?
Exactly.
I don't know. Who would I put over him?
I don't know. I just can't stop thinking about
it. I would put Eloise over him. Yeah. Eloise was good. Yeah. And like whatever she represents, I was like, yeah, like her power, like, yeah. You know?
That's a 2021 girl.
Yeah, she's such a rebel. I think that if I was living in that time with my mindset now, I would be Eloise, you know? Like,
honestly, I would be a Daphne.
Yeah.
Same.
I'm like, I can't stand y'all.
If I find me a Simon, yes, please.
Yes.
And that's it. I'm off the market. Thank you.
I'm already rich. I'm already privileged. And I'm going into this market to go find a husband. This is going to be easy for me. Like, I'm not like, no. And this is what really, and now in those times as a woman, that was your only way of really striving to be anything bigger. Yeah, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to just do what I can do to be even bigger. You know, but I have to be married first. So I feel like Daphne, I feel like, I don't know if you're both into the whole sign things and all that stuff too, but Daphne was giving me major like Capricorn Cancer axis type of feel. Like she was just very, I don't know, into that whole traditional sense, like wanting to be married, wanting to have structure, wanting to have the family source and wanted to be like head of it. But also she wanted that class system too. She wanted to be shown like when she was interested in the Duke, she was like interested in that lifestyle. Then she was like, I don't want to give away too much. I don't know if we're going in that direction yet, but you know, she was very much into the whole high status thing. And I feel like that was really that access. And she was into playing the game. I don't know.
That's definitely an earth sign move. Like, like structure and stability and consistency, you know, that's definitely an earth. I was just going to say Virgo. Like I was just.
It could be Virgo.
Yeah, and plus I feel like back in those times also, though, like, that's what they were taught to be.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing that they were taught to be as a wife and a mother, you know? And if you're not, like, and if you don't even get picked in your first season of the whatever it is, like...
Your debutante.
Yeah, like, you're, like, worthless.
Yeah, like, you're looked down upon. You're, like, now, like... Ooh, she's last season.
Yeah, exactly. She is so last season.
Exactly.
So like that shit was serious over there at that time. So I don't know. I don't know. I would be playing the game. I'm like, y'all not about to see me slipping. Like,
oh, hell yeah. Let me find me a husband right now. Yeah. Like, who wants to dance with me? Check my card.
Like another part of me would definitely enjoy the life of being the wife in that time. Mm-hmm. Because when Daphne was married to the Duke and she went to her first like wives event. Ooh. Or whatever. What is it? The ton wives event or whatever.
Oh, the one that Lady Danbury hosted?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So they were like gambling, they were drinking, they were having a good old time without their
wives. Wasn't okay. Having fun secretly, right? You know, right.
And spending their husband's money.
Yes,
exactly. That is my dream.
Exactly. So what's her name? Kitty. It was the general's wife. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I don't want to be with my husband all the time. Like, what? This is the luxury. Like, I get to carry these privileges without having to spend time with him. And she was
exactly.
Like, but how about your kids? And that's when Lady, you know, Danbury was like, yeah, she's a new wife. Like, right. She don't know yet.
She don't know how to play the game just yet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But yeah. She's a big learner. That's right. When she said that. So Lady Danbury is the third one on the main characters list. And then Eloise.
Lady Danbury is definitely one of my favorite characters of the show. Like you said, like she, like even though she's not, like she doesn't show herself much, like whenever she does, it's like very pivotal, important moment.
Yeah.
Like trying to snap them back into like, all right, y'all get your shit together.
Yeah,
like, this is how you fucking do this shit.
Like y'all are married.
Yeah, like even when Simon was about to leave, like,
are you sure?
Yeah, like what are you doing? You know, like you can't be bitter about this shit. Like you can't hold grudges. Like you're gonna be alone. You know. Yeah.
Yesterday. After one of my readings, like I pulled a card for the situation to like ask my guides, like, did I deliver the right message for this person? Right. Long story short, the Page of Swords card came up and how I delivered the message was like, this is the fuckboy card. And the way that I used the Gilded Tarot deck, I don't know if you're familiar with that deck, but the way that the page was standing with the sword, but the sword was like he was using it as a cane. So that's why I was like, that's fuck boy energy with big daddy issue. And I was like, the Duke. Yes. So he is the Page of Swords energy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like Lady Danbury was there to like whip his ass into shape every once in a while. Like, okay. You had enough time being a fuckboy. Okay, I gave you your space. Get it together now. Enough. So
I did really like her for that. Get you nowhere.
Exactly. There was one part though that I was kind of like, a little cringe with her, but I feel like it was just very Shonda Rhimes at the same time. Like, you know, this is very her category. But it was basically like Lady Danbury trying to tell him, like, you know, about like encouraging him to like marry whiteness. You know, like this is the way for you to climb the ladder. This is a way for you to be desirable still. Like if it wasn't for us, you know, doing that, we wouldn't be here. Look at the queen. She's here. Yeah, and she was like doing that. And so I was like, okay, I get what you're saying, but it's a little cringe. I'm like it's a little too much of like the whole colorist type of school that we're about to go down, and like the bad side of interracial relationships where people do it for self-serving reasons. So I was just like, okay, Lady Denver, you're a little toxic, but you know, it's whatever. It's probably like more her mindset for her age too, and like probably at the time that she was when she was getting into the marriage world and like what she had to do too. So it's like you understand where she's coming from too, but it was just also to show like they did try to like throw in like real life issues into that.
Real life situations.
And I also watch a snippet of like a little Q&A on their Instagram page, and they were asked, if you could go back in time to any era, like
what year would you go back to? And Lady Danbury was like, do you see me? I ain't going back to no time. I'm staying right here where I'm at. Like, you see exactly me? Yeah, I ain't going back.
For real though.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the supporting characters now. Who is your favorite? Okay, let me go down the list first. We have the mother, Lady Violet Bridgerton, Anthony Bridgerton, the oldest brother.
Absolutely not. If we want to talk about who we hate, that's mine.
Exactly.
That's mine.
I think he was the least favorite too from our poll that we did earlier. Yes. Rumor, you know what? I don't hate him.
To be the next season.
Yes. Yeah, the next season I feel like is going to be all about him.
It is all about him. I feel like it's definitely that.
Do you feel that? Yeah.
Oh, definitely. Because one, he's still unmarried and he's like the oldest one. Like, one of those, like, dude, you need to. And I think they like to allude to that a little bit.
And how he left it in that last episode when, you know, before he part way with the Duke and Daphne. Maybe he'll learn. Maybe he won't, you know?
Maybe it'll be one of those, he was a villain and now he's someone that you love. So you feel for him now. But I don't know. The way he set himself up season one is enough. I was like, you need to go. You need to really go. How do you just pop back out of nowhere into your family to just cause chaos and then act like you are superior than everybody? Like, you don't even know what's going on here.
Right.
And you don't even have your sister's best interest. Like, since we're going back into his choices, and we talked a little bit about the whole weirdness of the child bride scenario and all that stuff too. One of the big things that were super cringe in that show was when he kept trying to put her with that fucking pedophile. Like, that old ass. Like,
yes.
Like, the creepy, ugly looking, like, no.
Nigel Barbara.
Nigel.
Nigel,
God, I hated him.
Yes, and when he made that slick comment that Daphne even had to be like, oh, you mean when I was 5 years old? Like, basically saying, like, oh, you know, I've always had eyes for you. Like, you always looked like such a, right, like, and she's like, because he said it like a specific time period. And she's like, oh, when I was like 5.
Yeah.
Like, basically was already turned off by him, obviously. Creeped out, obviously. You know, like, all of that, not wanting him. But your brother steps in. He's like, well, you're going to marry him. So.
Right. That made me so mad. I'm like, are you kidding me? Out of all these guys that wanted me, like, you're going to pick Nigel Burbrook?
Because of his credentials and his estate and his.
Just no. I hated Anthony.
Okay, well, I guess a no for Anthony. Let's keep it going. We have Penelope Featherington. Queen Charlotte, and then Marina Thompson. Okay, so Penelope Featherington. Featherington.
Yeah.
Yay or nay? I love her.
Penelope? Yeah, I love Penelope.
Me, I love her.
I was like, I loved her. She did have a moment where I was kind of disappointed in her. I was like,
where? Which one?
Oh, you know. The part where she, like, Penelope is the one that was.
Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, when she got the jealousy, you know, the jealousy got the best of her in one scene. And I was like, honey, you're not being your best self that you usually are, which is like, okay, we obviously can't always be our best selves, you know, but like her worst self was just too much, though. I was like, damn, you were really ready to just throw this girl under the bus, ruin your friendship, ruin like everything, which I get. It was supposed to also look out for her crush. You know,
and
all that stuff too, which like I agree and I understand, but that wasn't your place. That wasn't your place to do that. That wasn't your place to sabotage anything. And it was just like, it was so sad. But I also get it because she was snubbed all throughout the entire episode. It was sad.
Right.
Like, not episode, season. Like, she was snubbed the entire season.
Right. Like, her mom wasn't nice to her. Her sisters, like, nobody gave a shit about her.
And she was like the fat sister, you know?
Of course, yeah.
Like the ugly duckling.
Yeah, exactly. And why do they always do that? It's always like the two mean sisters and then one that get bullied. Like, And the other two sisters always like the dumb ones, but like somehow they're praised by the mother. I'm like, what is this? Mulan, and then we have Cinderella. Like, what is going on, Bridgerton?
And it was just like, of course they had to do the fat character like that too. It was like, you always do that. And it's like, that's too much. That's too much. And then they were like looking down on her and all that stuff. I was like, oh, this is like too sad, like to witness. Like,
yeah,
it was too much at some points that I just felt so sad for when she would like stand by the dance floor and like watch everybody else like having a moment. And she's just there like, what? And I guess like, I wonder what I'm gonna do later. Maybe I'll write about this later.
exactly what she did.
Oh my God. Okay, so are we gonna talk about her more, or do we want to go back to that?
What do you mean?
About Penelope
being who she is?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can say who she is because we're, you know, we're gonna spoil all of it at this point.
Spoiler like, alert! Yeah,
like, if We mentioned it, okay, on our Instagram. Like, if you haven't, you need to, like, it's a priority for you to watch this.
Yeah,
we haven't seen it all.
Okay, well, then gloves are off. We already gave a warning. So, Lady Whistledown.
Like, I can see why she's that. Because, like, nobody's paying attention to her anyway.
Yeah.
So,
can we be honest? I don't know about you guys, but I thought it was obvious. When they revealed it was her, I was like, oh, I knew it.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I had a feeling since like, I had a feeling when the whole Marina thing came out. I was like, oh yeah.
Same. That's one of my friends, she literally didn't know at all. Like she was surprised at the end when it was revealed that it was Penelope. And I was like, really? I was like, I feel like they threw many hints.
Yeah. At first though, I thought Lady Whistledown was Lady Danbury for like the first three episodes.
Honestly, same. Same in the very beginning. I thought it was her too. Cause she was again like a fly on the wall. You know, she was just like observing everything. And so I was just like, oh, and when the Marina stuff started happening, that's when I was like, oh, it's not her.
Cause she would always also say, like, haven't you known? Like, I know everything or I know it all. Like she always says that constantly. So that's what made me think, like, oh, it must be her. I don't know what made me think that it was her from that scene when she got out of the carriage. I don't know.
When Simon came
to
see her?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm. When she got out of her carriage, like, right at that moment, I thought this was her narrating it.
I guess maybe it's also because, like, the voice of the narrator is like an older woman's voice.
You're right.
So probably.
You know, like, you wouldn't have thought that it was...
Young-ass Penelope. Right. Yeah.
True.
That is a good point.
Okay, what do we think about the mother, the Lady Violet Bridgerton? Ugh, she annoys me sometimes. Like,
but she, yeah, I can see that. Like, I have like my moments with her, just because, like, I don't know. I guess she's like a mom, you know. So like, yeah, she wants what's best for her daughter, but I think back in those days too, like there was just so much like lack of communication. Okay, between like mother and like daughter, between husband and wife, like
everyone,
no communication whatsoever.
Yeah,
you're so right.
Like, I don't know if it's because of like class or whatever. Like, you're just not supposed to like speak out of like term.
Yeah,
or like, you know, I don't know, but
there was no internet.
I mean,
there was no phones. Cause like, think about it. If there was a quicker way to communicate. Marina's and Sir George situation would have, you know, not gotten to where it went, you know?
Yeah.
When she thought she had muster up some abortion tea, right?
Right.
The herbalist in me was like, wait, hold on, go back. What'd she put in there? Chamomile? Dandelion? What she put?
I'm like, ooh, is that like a tested formula? Like,
is that right? I'm like, so this is what they've been doing back in the day.
I was like, okay, Bruja, I see you.
Yes. Oh my God.
I just feel like for a mother who is trying to get her daughter into this world, you know, like I feel like there should be a little bit more information.
Oh, for sure.
On like what she needs to do. If you're what just happens. Gonna, yeah, exactly. Like she doesn't even know about like the whole like how babies become to be. You know, like your mom didn't tell you this, like, but your mom wants to marry you off into some man, and then just like let you go into the world just. Blind,
yeah, just with the name, and all this was masked behind the curtain of love,
right?
Like, you know, mm-hmm. like
she tells like the sweet things but not what happens in reality,
mm-hmm.
until like, you know, until she actually says like, if you would have just fucking prepared me for this shit, like I would have known how to deal with this better.
Yeah. And it was even funny to hear from Simon too. Simon was like, wow. Like when, remember the first time they were having sex, he was like, wow, it's really crazy how much they keep you guys innocent. Like in such a way, I was like, but he wasn't even trying to say it in that way. Cause he was also trying to encourage her to like, you need to be doing some self-exploring, girl. Like you need
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
Something, because you should not be this innocent right now. But it's like that's how they were all conditioned and how they were all trying to do. And obviously the more innocent you left them, the more desirable that they were, because it was just more pure. It was more you know, it would
mold them.
What did they there was a way that they kept saying like they were like vile or they were like tainted. Like if they knew, even if they knew what sex was, it was like, you're tainted, you're done, you're vile, like you're no longer.
He has taken your virtue.
Yes, yes. And they were like automatically you were dirty. And it was like, damn, like, geez.
Right.
When that whole interaction between the two of them, when he was saying that, she was just like, you know, like in her mind, you get to see it in her facial expression. She was just so kind of like embarrassed. She's like,
Yeah, I would be too. Like, that's my facial expression, exactly.
But she was also 15. Yeah, so like, you know, all that, like, I wasn't self-exploring at 15.
I mean, in that environment, you definitely shouldn't have been, especially if you're trying to be on, like, the bride market soon. Like, you can't be doing anything that could jeopardize your status. So... Mm-hmm. Her mother, at least on the wedding night, could have prepared her a little bit. Like, come on.
I agree.
Come on.
I agree.
Like, maybe you didn't have to tell her before, but now the girl's married.
Right. Right before she goes off with the,
exactly. Like, this is what you do. This is the best way to get this. This is the best way to get this. So, like, you know, she could have been going in a little bit more in that moment, but she really was like, you know, as a woman, this is just a time. What do you even mean? What are we talking about right now?
Right.
You know how babies were made. Like, she
exactly.
How that happened.
She had to go to her maid and find out what really happens.
The maid was looking at her like, girl, for real?
Yeah.
You don't know? Okay, hold on. Like, it was just so sad to witness. You're like, damn, like, she's really in the dark. She has no idea what the hell is going on. But, you know, and that whole thing, I think, is what led to so much of the traumatic shit that happened between her and Simon. It was like, oh, my gosh. I don't know.
Like, no communication whatsoever. And I feel like it's so crazy, too, the fact that they are so, I mean, they're so spoiled, you know? Like, they don't even know how to fucking heat up milk.
Yes.
Hitting me?
Yes, you're like, right.
The maids literally do everything.
Everything.
Everything. Like, I mean, shit, if I had that many maids in my house.
I know, but like, she don't even brush her own fucking hair.
Yeah, for real. She goes into that chair and sits there and waits. And she's like, wow, what a service. Like, where do I get that?
Like, gets waking up in the morning, her curtains are drawn for her, like, nothing. They literally did not have to lift a finger for nothing.
Oh my god, you're so right.
Right.
But wouldn't you want that, though? Like, why wouldn't you? Like, that, I want to just be sitting in chair, like, what y'all gonna do with all this hair?
To be honest, yes, I would want that. But then at the same time, there was something that they also really highlighted a lot in the show, that when it came to the women, though, you really couldn't do anything. Like, it was kind of like a don't do anything because allowed to. Yeah. And it was just like kind of to the point where it was controlling of them, obviously, and like what they can or can't, what they should or shouldn't. And it was just like, okay, I see, like, what's going on here.
Yeah, because the housekeeper at the Duke's Castle, whatever her name was, like, Mrs. Coulson. Yeah. Coulson. I remember when Daphne was picking up Lavender with her maid, mm-hmm. she was like, she freaked out. She's like, oh, my gosh, what are you doing? Like,
Your Grace!
Yeah, Your Grace!
You know, we have someone doing that for you.
We have so many people. Should I hire more people to pick out lavender for you? Like, I can do that. Like, what are you doing?
Daphne, you're not poor. Stop. I can't.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, damn, I can't.
For real, that maid was like, she was on Xanax. I'm like, not even Xanax. She was like on Adderall. Like, she was on 10 every second. She was like, stop it. Don't do that.
She was just so judgy, too.
Yeah, because like, she kept comparing Daphne to the late Duchess.
Yeah.
You know?
But I'm like, she's younger, you know? Like, yeah. It's a different time. Like,
mm-hmm.
girls, I mean, even though it's, you know, in 1813, like, I'm sure they were a little bit more independent than
the ones previous. You're right.
Right. Because even, you know, even with Eloise, like, she did not want to do any of this. Like, I want to go and like study or whatever, and she's like, but I don't even have a fucking choice. She doesn't even have a choice.
Yeah,
especially because that's another thing too that I like that they highlighted, because for her it's even harder because she's of status, which you would think of status means that you can get away with doing a lot because you have the privilege. But back, I feel like around those times that was not the case, because like it's even more strict now.
Right.
What you can or can't do, like you can't disappoint or make this family look bad.
Right.
You can't put any type of bad like publicity to us. Yeah. You're like, why would you want to go study? Like, you have the selection of a lot of men to choose from to marry and all of this stuff. So I'm looking forward to when it's her season.
Me too.
Yeah.
To see what they try to do with her. But I hope it's not going to be too, you know, how shows are these days, like, because they're obviously trying to preach a lot of the stuff to us that we all obviously care about nowadays. Sometimes they get a little bit too much with it, and it's like not natural, and it's very forced. Yeah, it's like, it just sounds like very forced after a while. You're like, okay, calm down. Like, we're like that, but it's not like in your face every day, like. Every interaction you have with somebody, it's like being thrown out in every sentence. So I feel like, I hope they don't do it too much in that extent, because that's obviously what Eloise's character is. You know, she is supposed to be that woman. But I am excited to see what they do with her.
You know, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of teared up that last episode where she arrived at the ball and she was wearing the ball gown, and Daphne was complimenting her, like, you know, for someone who hates balls, like, you look quite like fabulous in that gown, mm-hmm. you know. And before they walked away from each other, she said, thank you. And she was like, for what? She's like, thank you for being perfect so I don't have to. And I was like,
like, honestly, yeah, I love exactly how she said that, because I was like, it made me think for a second. I was just sitting there and I was just remembering throughout the season. I was like, she's so right though. Eloise was able to get away with murder, low key. Because nobody was paying attention to her.
He was smoking. Like
homegirl was doing her own thing for the majority of that season, because everybody was so fixated on what Daphne was doing and how is her marriage life going? How is like her getting courted going? The drama between her brother, like everything was with her. Eloise was able to form her own mind, her own opinion, her own thoughts. Like, she wasn't under surveillance like everyone else was, especially Daphne was. So
she's definitely, that probably was.
I feel like she definitely was able to have more of that freedom to even explore what she liked and didn't like, or what she, and I feel like also being under Daphne's spotlight too was definitely something that also sparked it for her more. Like, I'm not Daphne.
Right. Her position kind of makes me think about the painter. What was his name? The painter?
The brother?
No, the actual painter, the one that painted the picture of the Duke and the Duchess.
Oh man, what was his
name? What is
Garvin name? Garland, something with a G. When Benedict came to the party and said, like, you know, yeah, look, and he was like, wow, you lived a life. And he was like, yeah, this is what's best about being second. You get to live the life you want, mm-hmm. you know? And so I feel like Eloise falls under that category because, like, she's like the second one in line. So she, like you said, she's in the shadow. So she's not really seen a lot. So she could do whatever the fuck she wants.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. My brother was like that too. That's why he was the worst. He was a black sheep of the family for a little bit.
Oh my gosh. Who's your favorite brother? Bridgerton brother.
Honestly, the one that almost got played.
Colin Meyer.
He was my babe, even though he was about to be like a baby daddy without knowing, you know?
Right. And like my favorite part was when he told Marina, I was like, you know, if you would have just told me from the beginning, I would have stayed with you.
I believe it. Seems like that kind of person who like would have been like, okay, I understand why we're keeping a little hush hush right now, because your life would be ruined if this got out. So because I really love you and I want to be with you, but now you trust me to know this information, we're good. We're going to move far away. We're going to go do our own thing once we're married. But I feel like he was down. He was down with the get down, but he just did not like that she was taking him for a fool.
Yeah.
See, if there was phones, that shit would have never happened. Like, between Marina and Sir George, like, Marina wouldn't have even put herself out there if there was phones.
Yeah, she could have just told the other guy, like, yo, I'm pregnant.
Yeah, like, right, I'm good.
Instead of waiting for his goddamn letter that never came.
Yeah.
He died. Because I can't think of anybody else who we already know in the show that would be inheriting their property.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, if we don't know them, it'd have to be a new character. But if it's someone I could see what you said. I would also love that.
Me too, because I love him.
I love him. He's also another one. I was like, oh, what?
they picked a good two main.
Because the you know, I'm all about that.
The trap.
Every time he was about, I was like,
yes. I was like, what is lucky?
I just love me some dark chocolate men. I don't know what it is, but like,
yeah,
they just be glistening.
And he was just so I liked his character in general, though.
Yeah,
his character was also like a cool dude. He was cool. He was like such a good friend to Simon, even when Simon was being a little bitch. You know, he was like really, he was really there for him. He was really killing it, and he made a risky move for his family, and it worked out for them. You know, so and he's a family man.
Yeah, he was full of moral.
Yeah.
Yes. And what he was ready to go, like jousting too for Simon too. Like he was ready. He was a real ride or die. He was like,
I was like, if I were to be your second, and Simon was like, I cannot ask you. Like that was not a question.
Yeah, he's like, I'm your second. Like wow,
my stomach literally like sunk to the ground when, after Sir George's brother, Sir Philip, showed up and asked her hand in marriage in replacement of his brother.
Yeah.
And then the next like scene, not too long after, it was her finding out that her baby was like moving or some shit like that, you know? And I was like, oh my gosh, when she dropped the plate, that plate of toast broke. I was like, no, bitch, you're not getting rid of the baby.
She's like, no, I gotta marry the brother now.
Yeah, exactly. But at that moment, I didn't think like they were gonna, you know, like she already told him to leave. Yeah. And I don't know, who knows how long it would take to reach back to him. And you know,
I guess he was in town for a few days.
So that was good too.
Oh my god.
Like, but for real, I mean, even thinking about that, like how normal that was too, like your sister's husband died in battle and now she has to marry his brother or his
husband.
Like she's there, like that was so normal. Like you just married like the next male in the family.
Out of obligation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
I, for me, I kind of felt bad for her because, like, when she found out that he was dead, you know, and, like, she had burnt all his letters beforehand. True. I was like, damn, now you don't even have those.
You have nothing.
Yeah.
Because you were so baby. Quick to...
Right.
Yeah.
She's very hormonal.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah.
She was.
Wait,
she...
so didn't the stepmom write a letter to her, though, pretending? Or did I imagine that?
Yeah, she did. Yeah,
Portia.
Okay, because for some reason I thought I was imagining it towards the end too when they were trying to say that he died and that's why she never got the letters or anything like that too. But I was like, but I thought they were hiding the letters. Like, I thought they were hiding the letters. Brother, plus,
right?
No,
plus
so
she wrote a fake one.
So Portia had wrote that he didn't want to have anything to do with her and the baby.
Mm-hmm,
okay. But then the brother came and turned out that he was actually writing back to her, saying that they were, you know, they could get married and move somewhere, you know, like, and he was going to take care of them. But then
it was the unfinished letter.
Yeah,
right?
It was an unfinished letter. But yeah, then he died. And he felt like the brother found it in like his belongings.
So sad.
I know. I'm like, damn. I knew it too. I knew when she got that letter, like the fake letter. Like, I knew that shit was fake.
Me too.
Cause
yeah.
Oh, same.
Yeah.
Like, Lady Featherington is such a bitch. You know? Like,
she will do anything to get her way.
Right.
She's probably a cancer.
I'm glad that her husband died. I'm glad they poisoned him.
Oh my God.
And I'm glad that they lost their money and shit.
Me
like,
too.
And you too.
Yeah.
I was like, girl, that's just for playing too much. You were playing way too much with people's emotions, their time, their energy. You were doing the most.
Yeah, no. She was doing the fucking most. And then she wanted to act all innocent about it. Like, bitch, get the fuck out of here.
True.
And then she looked at Marina like, you remind me of me. I was like, no.
Yeah.
She's like, you have to be strong.
Yeah.
Strong as a woman. Da-da-da-da. All of a sudden, like, yeah, but like, who's breaking her down right now? You, a woman. So.
Right. Who do you think is going to... who's gonna have their estate?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know.
Because you know how the
at the
Mrs.
end.
Varley had found out who's gonna inherit their estate after the Baron had died. I'm thinking, I don't know why, but for some reason I'm thinking it's Mondridge and his wife.
I hope.
Cause I can't think of anybody else who we already know in the show that would be inheriting their property.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, if we don't know them, it'd have to be a new character. But if it's something I could see what you said. Like, and I would also love that.
Me too, because I love him. He's
I love
too.
Him. He's also another one. I was like, oh, what?
they picked a good two main.
Because the you know, I'm all about that the trap every time he was about, I was like
I was like your wife is lucky.
I just love me some dark chocolate men. I don't know what it is, but like they just be glistening.
And he was just so I liked his character in general though.
Yeah,
his character was also like a cool dude. He was cool. He was like such a good friend to Simon, even when Simon was being a little bitch. You know, he was like really, he was really there for him. He was really killing it. And he made a risky move for his family and it worked out for them, you know?
Yeah.
So, and he's a family man.
Yeah. He was full of moral.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And what he was ready to go, like jousting too for Simon too. Like, he was ready. He was a real ride or die. He was like,
I was like, if I were to be your second, and Simon was like, I cannot ask you, like, that was not a question.
Yeah. He's like, I'm your second. Like, wow.
I guess we get to when we're talking about the different class of society, I guess we get to talk about the Sienna. Right, the lover of Anthony Bridgerton, the opera singer, and the seamstress. What's her name?
Madame Delacroix.
Madame Delacroix.
Yes, yes.
Okay, her fake French accent.
Yeah. Like, you're not French.
She gotta fake it till she make it, you know? She know that.
She's like, But yeah, Sienna was so revolutionary too, in like an Eloise way, but different.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just wanted her to just get a grip for a second. I was like, girl, leave him alone.
Yeah.
Right.
Leave him alone. He's trash. Right. He is so trash. He does not deserve you.
And
interaction with you, you feel horrible about yourself, right, and that you're not in this society, the high society of debutantes, you know, like. Mm. I don't know, but I love the end when she gathered stuff for herself and was like, listen, I got a boo now.
Yeah.
I'm with someone. I'm happy. I don't need you.
Yeah.
He loves me for me.
Yeah. He loves me for me. She didn't want to change for him. We're not on the same level. Yeah. She's like, I'm not going to change for you. Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, but man. It also took him all the way to the very end of the season to even get his shit together to go to her door, like, bye. No.
I knew that shit was going to happen when he was walking with those flowers and he was about to knock on the door. I knew. I was like, she's going to break his heart. She's going to break his heart. She's going to break his heart. And sure enough, when the door was open and it was that dude, I was like, ah!
Yeah.
I loved it. Well, he went there because he saw her with the dude earlier in the day. And was like jealous. And I was like, you can't be jealous. You
really. And then they like fucked under the stairs.
Yes. Or
like
fucked under the bleachers. Yes.
I was like, you can't do that.
I knew that was going to happen too when they were looking at each other with lust and they're like, yeah. I was like, oh, they finna fuck right now.
The two of them were very lusty for each other. Very lusty.
Toxic though.
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah. Cause he even told Benedict, he was like, yeah, whatever gives you pleasure, I'm glad that
Madame Delacroix.
Yeah, I'm glad that she's providing that for you, good for you, you know. And then so he finally had his views changed a little bit after he kind of made that decision, I'm gonna go with her. That's why he was bold enough to say, come with me, I want you by my side. That's it, I made up my mind. That's when she was like, nah, I seen this shit before and I'm not finna play myself again.
But didn't he ask her before that happened or no?
Mm-mm.
No, that's what I was gonna say. I don't actually feel that bad for him because he didn't even feel that way until he saw his brother was doing his own thing. His brother was out here living his best life, under radar. Nobody's even paying attention to what he's doing.
Yeah.
But he's out here, and because he found out about that, and he's also realizing now, Daphne's happily married now.
Yeah.
Everybody's moving on. He's realizing I still don't have anybody, and the person who I did I pushed away many times because she's not a proper woman. Which he told her to her face, you're not a proper woman. You're not someone who is marriage material. You're not really da da da. So now all of a sudden you want to go run back to her and be like, actually, just kidding. I think you are marriage material. And I think that we can run away and work this out. No, it's a little too late, honey.
It's just a little too late.
Too late to apologize. Oh. Speaking of music, let's talk about the music.
Oh yeah,
I thought that it was a pretty clutch move on them to turn that Regency London vibe with a modern twist.
Yeah,
you know,
they use modern pop music but made it classical instrumental.
The first time I noticed that, I think it was the first or the second episode, it was Ariana Grande's song, the Thank You.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that, I was like what, with the violin? I was like, wait, hold on, is this Ariana Grande's song?
Yeah, I feel like that was really cool because it was when you're hearing it go, it was wait, I know this song, right? I do know this song. But then you realize just a violin version of it.
Yeah, I mean, they even did they did Billie Eilish.
See, I don't know Billie Eilish songs, so maybe it came up. Which scene was that?
Oh shit, I don't remember.
So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different artists, modern artists that they use in that show. Thank You Next, Ariana Grande.
Yes.
I picked up Girls Like You, Maroon 5. Okay, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Written in My Blood by Shawn Mendes. I don't know that song.
Yeah, I don't know that song either.
Bad Guy by Billie Eilish.
Mm-hmm.
Strange by Celeste. I don't know
that one. I don't know that one.
and Wildest Dreams by Taylor Swift. I picked that one up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Wildest Dreams, that was the sex scene. That was
right. Exactly. In the like, gazebo. Like, yeah.
The outside.
That was like the long ass sex scene.
That was the scene I closed before I went to sleep that night. His hands were between her thighs. I was like,
no, they did great. They did great for those scenes. I was like, okay, I see what's going on here. But did you feel like there was chemistry between the two?
I think so.
No, I think they did too. But a lot of people I know, like from feedback from it, were saying that the chemistry between the two of them were off.
Really?
Which I was like,
I feel like it's kind of hard not to have chemistry with him.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
You're right.
Like, just to be able to kiss him.
Like. Yeah, I think there was, because like, you know how like some movies, like the kissing scene would be like, you'll see the two like lips going like this, but then you just see this, like, but they were actually like in each other.
I think the only time the relationship was kind of struggling as far as like chemistry wise was obviously during the fighting time, when they were like not speaking to each other and like things were not great after, you know, a lot of shit happened. But I feel like even then it was like, I think their communication is what made it seem like they didn't have any chemistry, because their communication was so bad. It was just it was so cringy. You were just watching it and just thinking, what are they doing? Like, just
why don't you just say it? Like, why are you wondering? Just
talk about what you're upset about.
Yeah.
They just get angry and then they like stop talking.
Yeah.
And they walk away. And
yeah.
I'm going to my separate side of the house.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I'll see you for dinner, maybe.
Yeah, that was crazy, mm-hmm. How they have, like, separate rooms. And every time they would, like, see each other in the hallway, they're like, your grace.
Can we talk about the controversial scene, though, that happened?
Yes.
Because that's very important to talk about. I guess to say, like, rape scene that happened. Marital rape scene that happened. Yeah. Because, first of all, I didn't think it was a thing, you know, like if you guys were husband and wife and your wife didn't want to hop off of you, like while you are, you know, like
ejaculating,
right? I literally was just gonna say that word, but I was like, maybe I should find a different word to say, but I mean, shit, you said it. I didn't think that it was, I don't know, like I didn't think it would be considered that, but I mean, I guess it is considered that because she did that without his consent. But I'm like, well, you pulled out of
without my consent. Yeah.
You know, like, I'm trying to have a baby and you're saying you cannot have, like, you can't give me a baby. Like, instead of you choose not to give me a baby. There's two different.
But that's why the whole thing was controversial, though, because it was like they both were manipulating the shit out of each other, both lying.
Right.
Both, like, trying to hold this power struggle between the two of them. But I feel like it is important to highlight that that is rape. That is not consent, because he literally said get off. Like, he like told her and was distressed about it too, like trying to get her off, and she like basically would not and just kept going. She kept going. It was at that point against his will. So that is rape, and it's marriage, yes. But if that happened, like roles reversed, where she was saying like, I don't want to anymore, and he kept going, everybody would be up in arms. They would be like, no, like, how the hell would, like, why the fuck would he do that? Da, 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 you know? So it's the same thing with her, and she basically was trying to trap him in that sense of having the baby without his wanting of having a baby, you know? And then at the same time, though, he's also at fault, not at all in that scenario, but in general with their relationship, to be like, I can't have kids. Like, you know, like you have this poor girl going with this marriage thinking that, oh, like, I'm so sad that he can't have kids, but I really love him. I'm going to be there with him. Meanwhile, you're lying to her. Like, you can actually have kids. You just don't want kids. Like, and the reason why you don't want kids is the absolute dumbest reason.
Daddy issues.
You could easily just talk it through with her, and probably your perspective will change, you know, eventually if you talk about it with her, but you refuse not to, and you don't even let her in on that discussion.
Yeah.
As a married couple, like the two of them were just so toxic. I was like, oh my, like, get your shit together, talk yeah. like talk about it because it was too much, and then it ended up, you know, escalating into a scene like that where now she feels the need that she needs to revenge rape, I guess, to like get her way and to show him like, I'm on to you, like I know what you were doing, you've been manipulating me, you've been lying to me, you've been doing all this stuff too, so like it's only right that I can do this. And it's like, no, like that's yeah. so red flag. But it's also like the two of them were just such a hot mess. It was yeah. such a messy scene that it was, I think it was well done in that sense, because it really just kept people kind of thinking like, wow, that was actually a lot to kind of unpack in that second, how toxic that entire interaction was. But I feel it was a lot. It was a lot to watch in that sense. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Because even like you said, like there was a part where I was ignorant too, in the very beginning of the interaction happening, where she like then hopped over and she was on top and I was like, she was going, I was like, yes, girl, showing that you know. But then I was, after all, I was like catching myself, like, oh my gosh, no, that's not okay. Like, that's actually not okay at all, because you shouldn't obviously do that. But it's so, it was just like so fucked up that was like my initial thought too. I was like,
me too, girl.
Yeah.
When she got on top, I was like,
show him. Like, show him that you know exactly what's going on now. And then you're going to have this baby now. Like, you're no longer going to be lied to, because that's fucked up that you've been lied to this entire time. And now that you were finally figured out the information that in order to have a baby, he needs to ejaculate in you. You know, like that was like such a mind-blowing moment for her. She's like, so that's why all those times you've been pulling out. And I just thought that's how sex goes. I thought that's what happens.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it was just such a, oh my gosh, from every section, like every direction, I was like, whoa,
that yeah, was that's why I was saying, like, there was just so, like, there was just such a lack of communication. Like you said, if she would have just, like, told him, like, so now I understand, like, how to have a baby, and you're literally just not wanting to, like, yeah. you could have just asked him, like, what's up with that, instead of doing, you know, what
yeah.
you
like, yeah. Like, I think she just asked straight up, how does a baby made, but she was also curious about, like, does it hurt? Oh, no, that was to Simon when she was asking him that time that he pulled out and was, like, obviously, yeah. like, coming right there, and she saw it. She was like, oh, my gosh, does that hurt? Like, is that why yeah. you, like, you know, you, like, take it out so fast, and you're, like, looking like you're in pain? Like, she's yeah. so oblivious. She's like, oh, does that hurt? And he's like, no, yeah. no, it actually feels really good. Like, it feels yeah. like how you feel right now. And yeah. she's just like, oh, okay. He played on that. He played on the innocence and played that she knew nothing about it, that he could get away with murder at that point.
Right.
Some dark shit in that show.
Yeah. And then like, and then after that, he like guarded her the whole time until he finds out whether she gets her period or not. Like, yeah. I'm not letting you out of my sight type shit. Like, damn. And then like to tell her like, okay, like if you don't have a baby, then I will never darken your doorstep again. I'm like, oh, so that's it? Like, the honeymoon is over?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, okay, so if you're not pregnant, like, I'm never having sex with you again type of shit. Because, like, even after that whole situation, then they, like, he had done, like, ate her out, like, on the stairway, you know?
That was fucked up. I was so mad at him in that scene.
And then after she was like, okay, like, let's
go to the bed.
Like, yeah, let's go to the bedroom and finish this. He's like, no. Like, what do you mean no?
You still have my pussy juice all over your mouth. What you mean no? Like, what the fuck?
That's what I'm saying. The two of them just tormented each other.
Yeah, like, that was really so much tormenting.
It was like, okay, what's going on here? Like, at one point when they kept, like, that's when I would say, because the show was very great in the beginning and so bingeable. And then I feel like towards the end, it was kind of boring. I was like, okay, because it was just dragging this whole altercation between the two of them.
Yeah.
And it was just so boring at that point, because it's like, okay, they're not speaking. They keep talking about separating, but nothing's happening. It's like, they're just going about their day to day. And like, I don't know. In that moment, I was just like, okay, come on. Let's get to the end. Let's see how this ends. Let's just wrap it up. And hopefully they get back together. Like, I just want to see that happen. And of course they did. Like, the show obviously will end. That they get back together, things are peachy again. He goes through and works on his daddy issues. She gets like insights from Lady Whistle. Was it Lady Whistle? Oh no.
No, Danbury.
And Lady Danbury told him, like, well, you know, like, his dad was an asshole. And she's like, oh, that makes sense. And then boom, they got together again. So it was, like, nice and happy for them. And a lot. After
she read the letters, too.
Yeah, and she read the letters about, like, oh, which was so sad. The whole issue with between his dad, though, was highly fucked up. It was like,
yeah, for sure.
It was too much. So I understand all of that, too. But I feel like I was just kind of waiting for that part to happen, because there was like a good 2-3 episode period, I feel, where it was just like, okay, yeah, let's keep it pushing.
Yeah, I like you said, like, I can also understand like where he's coming from, you know, not being able to communicate, just because he's never had like anybody teach him anything, you know, like his mm-hmm. dad didn't care about him, like his mom died as soon as, you know, she gave birth, like he never had anyone to like love him, like even though, like, yes, Lady Danbury did like take him under his like her wing, like it's not the same thing, you know, like she's exactly. just there to kind of like remind him, like, you are, you know, like you're royal, like you can do anything you put your mind to, but when it comes to like love and like affection and communication, like he doesn't know any of that.
He literally saw his dad shit on him, basically. Like, right. His dad full on was like, I don't want you. You are an embarrassment. You don't, like, you're not my son, basically. So that's right. A lot of shit to walk around with. Like, your dad is saying that to your face as a child.
Right.
No, that man was evil. He was evil.
Yeah.
That but maybe also, like, coming from his stand, from his point of view, maybe like around that time, like he's trying to keep his name around mm-hmm. all of these whiteys, like I worked hard for this, or like the generation before, like we got to keep this going or some shit like that, you know?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's what Lady Danbury was trying to allude, you know, like to a lot of that stuff, but it was just so like fucked up how much he let that control the relationship between him and his son. So
yeah.
It was too much. And that was a lot of trauma for him to be walking around. Daphne is she's never dealt with anything like that.
Exactly.
Okay, well, before we close this, let's talk about our prediction for season 2. I know we kind of like touched up on it a little bit, but what do you think will happen in season 2? Tiff.
Well, I think obviously there's going to be a lot of Anthony trying to find a Viscountess. I really want to know whether Eloise is going to find out if Penelope's Lady Danbury, since they're best friends.
Because the way they left it at the end. Yeah,
because like the fact that she found out that obviously it Madame wasn't. Delacroix is not yeah. Lady Whistledown. Like, I'm wondering if she's going to like, now, like more than ever, she's going to try to find out, like reveal who Lady Whistledown really is.
I want someone to know that it's her. But I feel like with Anthony, I think he is going to, it's just going to be more of like a self journey for him, mm-hmm. figuring out who he's going to be with, who he's not going to be with. I don't know. I feel like his season is going to be, it could be either really interesting or just very boring.
Like, do you think he'll stay in London or do you think he'll leave London?
Yeah, because I mean, the fact that he is the oldest and he obviously now is the head of the family.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's able to just like up and leave if he wanted to, you know?
Yeah.
But to go back into the whole like Penelope, like somebody knowing who Penelope is, I'm wondering, because, you know, somebody is going to inherit their estate, like, where are they going to go? Are they going to go to like a different, like, I don't know, like, I wonder if they even have another estate or anything like that because of the Baron dying, you know, but like.
And at least Marina got out. Marina was like, peace out, you guys figure out where you're living and what you're doing. Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. Where are they going?
Right.
Do you think they'll fast forward to the time that their son is like a tad older, maybe like in the early age of like 6-7, or do you think like the baby will stay a baby in the second season?
Oh, I think I'm hoping that the baby will stay a baby. Like we want to see how they are as new parents, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, I feel like as far as the storyline for whatever sibling, like, I mean, we're pretty much all in agreement that it's Anthony's gonna mm-hmm. be the next one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So for his storyline, I feel like I don't see it fast forwarding, because I don't know what we're fast forwarding to. Like, what else does he have really going on
for him? Yeah.
A part of me kind of does, because I feel like it would be more interesting if the kid was a kid, you know, like actually talking and doing his own thing, has a personality. But I'm in no rush for them to rush it. But yeah, I'm just very curious as to where they're going with the storyline and at all, like in general for that.
Didn't they get picked up by Netflix for like 5 more seasons?
Yeah, and I think each season is going to be, and each one is going to be highlighting a different Bridgerton sibling. That's what I was saying. Like Anthony, I think is going to be the next one.
I wonder when Eloise is going to be. Then maybe after this is going to be. Maybe season 3 will be all about Eloise.
Yeah, or maybe they'll like somehow like kind of like sprinkle her stories like here and there and like end it with like
how they did for Daphne. The other ones, their storylines were sprinkled in throughout hers. But she was just like the main story, you know. I think they're gonna keep doing that for all of them, so that way by the time it gets to their season, you know, they're at a different point in their life and we know where they're at because we've seen them grow in the other season.
Interesting, yeah.
That is a way to keep it interesting and keep people wanting to like know more.
Yeah.
So we love it, we love it, we like it.
What do we rate it from like 1 to 5?
Quinn.
Ooh. Okay, I'm gonna rate it 3.5 because I feel like it was very bingeable and I really liked, especially in the beginning, but I feel like towards the end it just got very slow and it was just like I was just kind of waiting for it to end, and I don't really like when shows are like that because I like to continue watching it towards the absolute end episode. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's already over, you know. I like that feeling, so for that reason they get the points off.
I'll give it like a four. I'm gonna give them a 4 because, you know, like the costumes are all very great, the music was good, but like you said, yeah, I mean like the ending was kind of, because I feel like in the beginning was a little bit slow too, but then I guess like the beginning it was slow for like the lust and all the, you know, intimacy. But then
it all happened in one episode.
And then it was just like anger towards the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just like with passive aggressiveness for the next couple episodes. Yeah. Like, all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the lack of communication made me really like angry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, just fucking talk to each other.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I would go for a 3.5 too, maybe even a 3. I really don't care for this show. Like it doesn't bring me like anything valuable to my life. Like I don't like how the women are portrayed in the show. Mm-hmm. And they weren't like body wise, like none of them were like, you know, to me, like as far as the women were, like they were all pretty like flat and square and
1813.
So what, they got some curvy women back then too, like what the fuck. But you know, that's just me again. Like I like it for he was good to look at, like sex scenes were like got me hot and bothered. Other than that,
I feel like if we were going to end on that note, that is a note to end on. Like it's great to binge watch, but I feel like as far as like walking away with any type of like, you're not getting that.
Like life lessons, like what is that? Like talk to your husband and wife, like what the fuck.
Don't just jump into marriage. Like,
well, Quinn, this was fun.
This was so fun.
This is fun. We appreciate your input in this.
I really enjoyed my time here. This was so fun, and I just love talking shit about shows. So this was definitely up my alley.
I know when she said I got shit to say about Bridgerton, I was like scheduled. So before you go, will you tell our listeners how they can find and support you, your podcast, your page, whatever else that you do? Please tell us.
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram. My podcast page is @quintessentialpodcast. It's kind of long, I know, but there is the regular podcast page, and I guess my regular Instagram outside of that is at LOL It's Quinn. That's my personal one, but the podcast one, there you'll get updates on my upcoming episodes, past episodes, people who I've collabed with, as well as the link to actually get to the podcast episodes. It is on all platforms. I also am trying to do this little thing now with IGTV. It's kind of wonky right now because it's just all in the learning curve, but you know, I'm trying to get the engagements out there as much as possible. So that's been a recent segment. So I do want to plug the last episode that I just did too. It was all on body positivity. And this one was definitely one of my faves too. The woman who featured on it, she is a friend too, but she's like an actual influencer in the body positivity space, so I really wanted her to be on to teach us a lot in that space because this is more of her niche. But that's the latest episode, and if you are curious about body positivity, the state of it, I want to warn you, it is not a love and light type of episode. I feel like none of my episodes are actually love and light in that sense. It's always like, no, we're about to get to the real grittiness of it. This is the actual state of what the body positivity movement is for real. And this is what is wrong with it. And this is what is wrong with society as far as like all of our fatphobic tendencies that we don't even realize we have and that we do, but we are doing it. We fall right into the plan. And Instagram.
Yeah, I love that.
App where you only post your absolute best pictures possible that you have because you don't want... any type of flaws, any type of thing that's outside of what you think is the perfect life, like the perfect body, the perfect everything. Yeah.
We hope you have a wonderful night and a wonderful weekend.
Thank you.
Yes, toodles. Bye.
Thank you for having me.
It was so much fun talking to Quinn.
Yeah, it was. It was good bringing like another energy to weigh out on the show.
She's funny.
Yeah, she is.
My earth sister.
What is she?
She's a Capricorn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no wonder. She's a good bridge for us.
Yeah.
Because she's like funny and like outgoing. Mm-hmm. But she still share all those earthly
qualities.
Stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like Sarah. Yeah. We should get Sarah in our podcast one of these days.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. She's not going to want to. She says she's shy.
She ain't gonna...
Since when, right?
Right. What's she gotta be shy about?
Oh, no.
With her beautiful ass.
Okay. Well, guys. Before we send you off, as always, we're gonna give you guys some good juju for the weekend and for the week, or for the week, and yeah. We're going to get you guys some good affirmation for the week and the weekend ahead.
Don't forget to follow us on our social media. You can follow us on IG at Two Peach Indo Podcast.
Tweet us at Two Peach Indo.
Or you can email us at twopeachindopodcast@gmail.com. The affirmation for the week is, I attract great things to come into my life just by thinking about them. Okay, say it one more time. I attract great things to come into my life just by thinking about them.
Ooh, and you just bought some jade bracelets. Mm-hmm. Okay, then manifest jade, that shit. I know. Jade and what else? The moonstone. The
moonstone. Clear quartz.
Okay, all that.
I got a carnelian heart.
Oh, that's going to be fun to work mm-hmm. with.
It's so beautiful. I can't stop thinking about it. But anyways, you guys, speak positively this week, okay? It's full moon on Saturday. It doesn't matter because it's Monday.
Hopefully
you guys charge all your crystals in the full moon in Virgo this past weekend. Okay. I hope you guys manifest all the things that you desire to come into your life.
Yes.
Great things will come just by thinking about them. So,
mind over matter, guys.
Think okay? positively.
Yes.
Speak in affirmation.
Yes.
And it will all come to be. All
right, then.
We hope you guys have an amazing week.
We love you. Mucho grande.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.